Hello.net members, readers, and listeners. We're talking to all of y'all today. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.net All Access Audio Review for the WWE 205 Live Show that aired August 22nd, 2017 on the WWE Network. After the commercial break for non-members, I will be going into our full-on audio review to the 205 Live Show that headlined by the rubber match between WWE Cruiserweight Champion Neville and Akira Tozawa for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Back to the review. This was a pretty interesting show in positive and non-positive ways. That's how 205 Live rolls. But there was an interesting development at the end of the show, which I'll get into. And a couple of storylines were forwarded, so positive. But again, a lot of the storylines on 205 Live don't really mean much in the big picture WWE scheme of things. I won't linger too much on my onset thoughts, so I'll just start rolling. So, of course, this is WWE 205 Live. It aired August 22nd. Right after SmackDown in Brooklyn, New York at the Barclays Center. So I believe this is our final Barclays Center show for the week. Yeah, there are no other WWE shows being taped. I believe NXT, once those tapings start, are going to tape in Full Sail. I don't know. That's just me assuming things. But, of course, this week's episode started off with a cold open, a video package, intro teaser, if you will. It focused on the Neville versus Akira Tozawa match at SummerSlam. And, of course, the winner of that was Neville. He got his championship back. He won with the red arrow, because he uses the red arrow when he really needs to. After the opening theme, Vic Joseph and Corey Graves checked in on commentary. And as he's been doing, Vic Joseph called this show the quote-unquote most exciting hour in television. Yeah, that's their catchphrase. It's just like how the bad game show NXT was the next evolution in television. Yeah, exciting. So, our first match of the night was, so before the first match started, we had the competitors coming out. The baby faces were Cedric Alexander and Grand Metalik. And their opponents were Drew Gulak and Tony Nese. I believe this match happened last week. I don't try to keep what happens in the 205 Live undercard in my head. But I'm assuming this was the same match as last week. And before the match, we had Drew Gulak introducing Tony Nese. Tony Nese cutting a cheap heat promo, bashing on the Brooklyn fans. Our first match of the night was Cedric Alexander and Grand Metalik versus Drew Gulak and Tony Nese. The winners of the match were the face team of Cedric Alexander and Grand Metalik. They defeated Drew Gulak and Tony Nese via pinfall in 7 minutes and 50 seconds. The ending of the match had Gulak in the ring. He tried to steal the win with an inside cradle, but of course Cedric Alexander countered and hit the lumbar check on the back of Drew Gulak. This was a fun match. We got to see more of Grand Metalik, who only loses in 205 Live. I would have liked it a little better if Grand Metalik picked up the win here, because if I remember correctly, Cedric Alexander picked up the win last week. Grand Metalik hasn't been picking up wins. I'm not sure why Grand Metalik is being presented as a guy who loses a lot. He should be treated more as a sensation, a future legend, as opposed to being Lindsay the Dorado 2.0. Grand Metalik, he can do some really cool things in the ring. He doesn't have the frame of your typical like skinny cruiserweight, think Mystico, but he can do everything Mystico can do as far as like, if you compare the two at this day, And Grand Middle League doesn't botch moves. He can do all the things Mystico can do without the botches. Mystico botches in CMLL too, or AAA, as you know, both companies. He Sin Cara 1.0. You remember him. Grand Metal League is way better than him as far as what I've seen of him to this day. But they just keep having Grand Metal League lose. He lost all of his singles matches on the show. So it would have been good to, for him to pick up some steam, but WWE 205 Live. I do like that there was some semblance of someone picking up steam. It's hard to pick up any real steam off of Drew Gulak and Tony Nese, though. But at least they're trying, and the announcers tried something. Corey Graves had a good comment. So you had Vic Joseph almost decrying Drew Gulak, his whole crusade about trying to make a better 205 Live, and Corey Graves was like, "What are you talking about? We want a better 205 Live." And I was like, "I agree. I totally agree. I wish we had a better 205 Live, but." Sadly, 205 Live is being presented like WWE Main Event slash WWE Superstars, a show that no one cares about because it doesn't mean anything in the long run, and it doesn't even exist in its own universe. It exists as a the bottom part of the WWE big scheme of things. After that match, we had. Cut to Akira Tozawa and Titus O'Neil backstage. This Titus was essentially hyping up Akira Tozawa. Tozawa sort of reassured Titus that everything was going to be okay. And Titus O'Neil made a Defenders reference, current Marvel reference. He called himself Luke Cage and called Akira Tozawa Iron Fists. And thinking of that, like if WWE really wanted to make a serious play off of Iron Fist and Luke Cage. I think it might work out with Titus O'Neil and Akira Tozawa. Of course, if they ever did that, it would come off as a ripoff. But I'm a Marvel fan. I wouldn't mind at least seeing them try. Titus is good on the mic as long as he doesn't act goofball, which has been my whole criticism of this whole Titus Worldwide thing. They do have a decent amount of chemistry. Akira Tozawa isn't a bad talker. In fact, he's one of the better speaking English speakers of WWE's native Japanese wrestlers. And the only downside is that's why Titus O'Neil, it's just like 205 Live, where 205 Live is the show of mediocrity. Titus O'Neil was one of like the poster boys of WWE Main Event slash Superstars. So his presence in the main event story of this show just brings it out the whole show down to a WWE Superstars level. So at the end of the segment, he went, they served it the worldwide chant, and he said two claps and a Ric Flair, which was woo. And just a comment on that, I thought it wasn't as tasteless as what Sasha Banks or what Sasha Bank what's scripted to do the night before. I agree with Jason Powell on that one. It was totally random, and it's randomness where Sasha Banks thanks Rick or wishes Ric Flair well out of nowhere. Made her come off as a bit tasteless, or at least she was scripted to come off as tasteless, so this was a lot more organic and better. So, there we go. After that, we had a commercial break, and we moved on to the duels segment between Jack Gallagher and supposedly the Brian Kendrick. So, Gallagher just talks about how Kendrick sort of took this too far by disrespecting him, his ability to fight, and all that. And Kendrick, instead of appearing in the ring, appears on the Titantron, continues his shtick of calling Jack Gallagher a clown, and he said he found Jack Gallagher a more suitable opponent. So he sent out a clown. This is starting to get a little bit old. It's heat. I get it, but it's like weird Vince McMahon humor heat to the point where, like I said, they're not really developing hate for this feud, they're just developing apathy. You're just kind of waiting for this thing to end so they can move on to something meaningful, hopefully. One thing I thought was funny was you had the indie wrestler or performance center guy play whoever's playing the clown. He does the handkerchief trick and he like heels on the like a kid in the first row. So there was a kid in the first row who was really happy to see this clown, actually, and he wanted the scarf and the clown heeled on the kid. Just a random thing. I thought it was funny. That happened. I'm in the ring. Jack Gallagher simply gives the guy a headbutt, or gives the clown a headbutt, and was going to put him through the table, but we found out that Brian Kendrick was there. He beat up Jack Gallagher with an umbrella, and then challenged Jack Gallagher to a no DQ match for next week. So we have the Brian Kendrick versus Jack Gallagher in a no disqualification match, in a match that I would assume that Jack Gallagher is going over, because this is how the Brian Kendrick feuds work in 205 Live. The announcers, I believe, framed him as a gatekeeper at one point. I see him more as a stepping stone, a very predictable stepping stone. This 205 Live doesn't have to exist. It's a totally unnecessary show. I would take WWE Main Event at this point. WWE Main Event has been a better show because it's been a good wrestling showcase to showcase people who don't get a chance to be showcased. 205 Live is just you could name this show WWE Treading Water, because that's aside from whatever Neville is doing, everything else is just treading water. Jack Gallagher would be great if he were on NXT and given some creative backing. I believe the Brian Kendrick can work well on WWE Raw, actually, as the gatekeeper that he wants to be. He can be a very solid mid-card act. All they probably have to do is give him a heavy bodyguard type. Tyrus slash Brodus Clay is free. I think Brodus Clay would make a good bodyguard for the Brian Kendrick. Bring in Ezekiel Jackson. He wasn't great as far as putting on long matches, but I thought he put things together well in Lucha Underground, and the guy had a good size and presence about him. He just kind of smiled a lot, like Apollo Crews would. Get these people off this show. Get everyone off this show. And I'm not saying that as a negative. If once you're off the show, you would be upgraded. At this point, maybe Main Event is an upgrade. I don't know. Let's move on. Before I go over the rest of the show, I'm going to take a little break to talk about .NET membership. So, on the free side, you hear me, Sim, Will, Jason, Hayden, Jake, and now April, who should be getting to the mix soon. You hear us like once, twice, thrice a month, maybe. Know that as a .NET member, you get us at the .NET fam. That's the staffers I just mentioned and Jason Powell. We give you full-on audio reviews every single weekday that there's a major pro wrestling show. We got full-on reviews of Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT, Ring of Honor, Global Force Wrestling, Impact Wrestling. That was one company. And even Lucha Underground, which you'll be hearing tomorrow. I'll be having my Lucha Underground review of it's Johnny Mundo week. We have John Morrison or Johnny Mundo today and Johnny Impact tomorrow. That's going to be a normal thing every week from now on, I would assume, because he's the Lucha Underground World Champion and he's competing for the GFW Championship. So, John Morrison Mania. You'll get full-on audio reviews. I went on a tangent. for every pro wrestling show, every day that there is one. We have Jason Powell and Jake Barnett do an awesome job at covering at the end of every big pay-per-view event audio. They had a really good one this past SummerSlam. And the night before, Zach Zimmerman and Jason Powell had a very comprehensive audio review on the NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 show. So, just to give you another highlight of what we have at our acclaimed.net site, we have the.NET Weekly Show. It's our flagship where Jason Powell and a guest. It could be one of us .NET staffers. It can also be any of the many pro wrestling personalities in professional wrestling. Heck, we even had a Survivor contestant, Johnny Fairplay, on a few weeks ago. I can go into more perks, but that'll take a while. Just trust me, you get your money's worth. I think this, the audio alone, it's its money's worth. And I'll just challenge you to unearth some of those perks yourself. There's a lot, like free access to our comprehensive site, as well as archives dating back to when we had our old website. So, for the low price of $7.50 a month, you can try it out for 1 month, and you get full-on access to the member site. If you take us up on our annual option, it'll bring it down to an average of $5.50 a month. Sign-up info is on the front page of the site. Once you click on, you'll get a FAQ as to what membership benefits include. So try us out and see if you like it. And as a wrestling fan, I'm pretty sure we got you covered for whatever you're looking for. So there you go. Make sure to check out prowrestling.net, and trust me, you'll like it. I liked it when I was a member, so. And I've recommended it to a lot of fellow wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans looking to get into pro wrestling. We have you covered at a lot of angles. So, without further ado, let's get back to the 205 Live review. So, we had okay, let's see. They were going to backstage. It was TJ Perkins and Rich Swann. They're buddies. They hang out all the time. Even though Rich Swann kind of hates TJP at the moment, and TJP is kind of this weird douchey tweener heel. I'm not a fan of this weird cocky character that TJP is playing. He was playing WWE 2K on the PS4. What happened was they Swan is pissed. TJP said he didn't mean to cost Swan the match. He didn't know Swan would get distracted. Just more forwarding of this feud. This segment kind of didn't have to happen. We get it. It was a weird, it was acted weird. It's just, this feud is weird. Rich Swan can play a very good underdog babyface, and TJP can be a very good bro babyface. In fact, if he played like a Zack Ryder type or even Mojo Rawley type, I think he would get over. He just tries to play this very swaggy P. Nick Young type that doesn't work well for him, I think. And no, and I've seen him do a lot better when he was in like doing babyface work as Manic in Impact Wrestling. And I'm not talking about Suicide. I'm talking about Manic, the one with the hoodie on his ring gear. He still wears the same ring gear right now. He just doesn't have the hood anymore and the mask. But yeah, I don't like the Swaggy P character. He's not good at doing it. And it's made even worse when it's not a full-on heel and/or baby face. It's just something that confuses people as opposed to making you take a side and care about what he is going to do next. You're sort of just gonna overlook him. Moving along to our main event match of the night. It was Akira Tozawa versus the Cruiserweight Champion Neville. Akira Tozawa had Titus O'Neil with him, and this was a singles match for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. This match was pretty slow on the onset. It was actually just pretty long. They stretched this one out a little bit, and it never seemed to really get into next gear. There was a good story told because you had Neville, of course, trying to set up for his Rings of Saturn finisher. He did end up hitting like one of the moves that he uses as a finisher, the superplex, and I believe Akira Tozawa kicked out of that one. But the end of the match had, let's see, so Tozawa did gain the advantage with a roundhouse kick to the head. They sort of traded pins a little bit, and Neville. So Tozawa went for the high senton, that jumping senton he does, but Neville rolled out the way and locked in the Wind Rings of Saturn to pick up the submission wing. So Neville defeated Akira Tozawa via submission in 16 minutes and 13 seconds to retain the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. And I emphasize that 16 because that's a long time for this show. So it was a long match. And it looks like we're moving on. So the reason why. So you had Neville savoring, his win in the middle of the ring. And as I mentioned in my written review, much to Corey Graves' chagrin, Enzo Amore made his entrance. He did his whole entrance shtick. My name is Enzo Amore. I'm a certified GE and a bona fide stud. You can't teach that. Of course, I'm sans the big cast 7 foot parts. And remember, one point in NXT that had Carmella in it. He. Yes, did his stuff. He said Neville calls himself the king, but the only word that describes Neville is something that he was going to spell out, SAWFT, soft. And the crowd was huge. This was might have been the biggest cheer, like as far as crowd response I've seen in 205 Live. Austin Aries got some good ones, but I think this might have been the biggest. I'm now into my critique, and that was the end of 205 Live. You had Enzo doing his Enzo dances. So, there we go. I did make a little joke. I said if Enzo was in the doghouse, what better doghouse to put him in than 205 Live? this has me intrigued. Very, very much so. The reason why is, on one hand, Enzo isn't really that great in the ring. He didn't come into WWE with prior wrestling like background. He did pick it up very well, but when the few times we've seen him do much in the ring, he hasn't shown much. Where he does shine is on the stick. He's a very good mic worker. And very good at getting the crowd behind him past the Road Dogg 2007 sort of monologue he does. He can put on some very good promos. And one thing that intrigued me very much so was if you attend a WWE show the last couple of years, not just WWE Raw, but WWE SmackDown and WWE NXT. The Enzo and Kaz merch, those things sell like hotcakes. They sell like crazy. And when you go to the show, like you just seen the certified G shirts, everything. Enzo and Kaz were a huge act that WWE dropped the ball on. And in a company where cash is king and the pusher of that cash is merchandise, Enzo and Cass were pushing a lot of merch. I'm not sure if it's just a California thing, if it's just a big city thing. Of course, his hometown is in New York, so maybe. Using that as a sample size, I think Enzo, at least at one point was a huge deal. So, and another thing, he is going to upgrade if they allow him to do more than just say his regular lines, is he can put on say, some very good promo exchanges. Hopefully they just don't get too ha-ha funny because this is associated with WWE Raw, but that's the thing with 205 Live. It needs a huge reset button. This is where I would wished it were the SmackDown team. Speaking of Road Dogg, that his team were writing this. Because on SmackDown, it seems like they're more willing to go off the cuff better rather than relying on weekly, like I said, treading water. So I'm very intrigued to see how this experiment goes. As for Akira Tozawa, the ultimate wish is for him to go to NXT, but that's probably not going to happen. I hope he doesn't feud with Brian Kendrick again. I am partially dreading a possible Noam Dar feud, only because Noam Dar has been very ha-ha funny. Noam Dar's been great. I've been a huge Noam Dar fan on 205 Live. I just don't think Akira Tozawa needs to be downgraded to a comedy feud. So we'll see where it goes, and I'm just very intrigued as to how the Enzo Amore experiment is going to go. Not looking forward to the matches, but I'm looking forward to the promo exchanges and looking forward to the crowd reactions, because this might draw enough attention to 205 Live to sort of move 205 up on WWE's priority checklist. So there we go. That's it with my WWE 205 Live audio review. I will be back, tomorrow with my Lucha Underground audio review. Not sure if that's going to be All Access or members. I'll get into that in a little bit. You'll find out soon somehow. Thank you so much for being readers of .net. It's because of you guys that we even do this. So there you go. With that, I'll let you go. Have a nice one. Bye-bye.